Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
ESPN, he's on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
Good. I'm feeling pretty good about Simone Biles' chances tonight. So I'm excited about that and ready to look. Sit down and watch some very suspenseful Olympic action.
I have to bring this to air because I was talking to our fearless leader Brad Carson earlier, and he says he only watches the Olympic, you know, nightly recap with Mike Tirico, and I was trying to like get through some of the things I got to see today, like, you know, Katie Ledecky and Simone Biles and all these things. And he had the nerve to act like I was really spoiling it for him. Like I was really giving him spoilers. Like he hadn't seen a movie opening night. With sports, I'm sorry. There's no such thing as spoilers.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I can't do it.
That's fine. I would say this. I think you're basically right that it's the Olympics, and you know, I get alerts on my phone, and it's hard to avoid it. But if I knew. If I knew that a friend of mine liked to consume the Olympics that way, it's a perfectly reasonable way to like to consume the Olympics, to not watch during the day and like to sit down and watch, and even if you can, to try to preserve some suspense. NBC has actually said that most people, when they watch at night, have never watched the previous moment that day. That's how most people consume the Olympics.
Right.
And so I think if I had a friend who I knew was trying to avoid the results and watch it in some blissful, suspenseful, then I wouldn't tell him. You know, I wouldn't say, hey, how about that Simone Biles? You know, but I don't mind saying it right now because I assume most people know. And it's really hard to avoid. It is hard to avoid it because literally my phone like lights up. I got a New York Times update and I got a ESPN update, and I, you know, it would be hard for me not to know that she had won. But I don't judge him for not wanting, for trying to, if he possibly can, preserve the suspense.
But I just don't think in sports we can really just you record a Sunday night football game on Monday, and then on Monday you go watch it back. I can't tell you. I can't try to have a conversation with you about what happened on Sunday night.
Let me ask you this. Of course, it's not Monday to Sunday. If you knew that you had a friend who was watching whatever the Patriots game that night. I've had people to do this, and it's an afternoon game, and they wanted to watch it that night. That's fine. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. I'm not judging people. If you tell someone by mistake, you don't have to tiptoe around them or whatever. But if I knew a friend of mine was consuming something that way, I would not. I wouldn't intentionally screw
no,
up.
No, no, I'm not saying I
but
just...
But I'm not going to tiptoe around him either. Like, yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
I was trying to have a conversation about what I saw today with Brad, and he said, yeah. No spoilers. I'm like, oh,
I think
well.
That's fine. Well,
but then I avoided it for the rest of the conversation because I'm a nice person, but it cracks me up. It really does.
I think that is it. That is, in fact, the way it should have gone. But you're starting to have a conversation about it. Brad doesn't want to know, and you respectfully don't tell him. I think that's fine.
Yes.
I don't know how the hell he doesn't know, but whatever. Like, I think that's fine. I think it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, if you work at a sports station and open up ESPN, you'll see both Katie Ledecky and Simone Biles. It's kind of hard to avoid.
Yeah, you're just flagrantly spoiler alerting. I was keenly aware of it, but I don't actually know exactly how it unfolded for either of them, and I'm going to be interested in watching that. Like, I think that's something.
See, too. Now, how about this for a radio show?
I've watched during the day. I've watched none. I've watched nothing.
Well, how about for a radio show purposes? Like, I have to, I'm going to bring up exactly what happened, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, there's I'm not going to avoid that.
Because mine isn't until the morning. Like, so... I don't really have to know until the morning. It fits my schedule the way that I consume it to sit down and watch it.
But I think it would be pretty silly though if, you know, on the show I said no spoiler alert, so I won't spoil it for you. That's right. See, that would be silly.
I think that would be silly.
Yes.
I think that would be silly. Yeah.
All right. Now, know what may be silly? Tyson Bajan versus Davis Mills tonight. You ready for the Hall of Fame game? Ready for some football?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it actually. But I do think that, you know, this is not an original point, but I think the most interesting thing will be watching these kickoffs. And I do wonder if it's such a dramatic change to a part of the game that can yield now such big plays that I do wonder if it's going to create not just some chaos game to game as things happen, but if it's going to produce a more unpredictable NFL season, because you can definitely see games being won or lost on this, right? Like, people are going to screw up. People are going to score touchdowns. Like, and it may not be the teams that we think of as good teams. You know, they may be really good at this thing. So I do wonder if it injects an element of unpredictability, not just play-by-play, the play-to-play. Like, all of a sudden, the kickoffs are unpredictable, and they didn't used to be. But if, in fact, the whole season is going to be a little more topsy-turvy, because whatever, some team that, you know, would have otherwise been on the cusp won a game or lost a game because of these wacky new rules. I'm kind of stunned that, as conservative as the NFL tends to be, that they didn't, you know, just have an experiment in the preseason first or something like that. They're really doing this. And if you listen to special teams coaches, I mean, I listened to an interview with the Bills special teams coach. He's terrified. He basically said that. And you'll watch it tonight just to get an idea of what it looks like. But, of course, people aren't really going to be rolling out their best stuff until the regular season.
It is kind of wild. All of the things that those special teams coaches have learned through the years completely gone. And this is a trial and error thing. They're going to learn on the fly and make up schemes on the fly at this point.
100%. Like, they're going to be, like, one of the questions is, your kicker going to be your kicker? Or are you going to have a position player as your kicker? Because in the XFL, what they discovered was that the kicker was involved in the tackle 25 to 40% of the time. And if that's true, do you want your kicker involved in the tackle?
Right.
Or do you want someone who can tackle involved in the tackle? Not just because they're better tacklers, but because you don't really care if they get injured. Like, you can't really do without a kicker, right? So, that's one of the experiments. I know a bunch of teams are experimenting with different kickers as kickers and not having their kicker be their kicker. But there is a penalty, obviously, if you don't put it in the landing zone. So,
yeah.
So I'm interested in that. It is interesting. You've got two of the teams that are sort of sexy picks to do well tonight, but we're not seeing anything. We're not seeing any of the reasons they're picked to do well. Like, you know, we're not seeing C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams, but it is interesting. Those two teams are both among the sort of hottest teams in the NFL, sort of predicted to do big things and to make a splash. I'm happy to get it going.
Are the Texans in that same group? Like, obviously outside of the Chiefs, but you have sort of Chiefs, Ravens, Texans? Is that fair? Are you going to still put the Bills in there, the Bengals? Like, are the Texans in that group, though, of tier one teams in the AFC.
Yes. I think you have, I mean, you have the Chiefs in its own tier, right? And then you have, Bengals, Ravens. I have no idea what the Bills are going to be like, but until further notice, I think they have to go in there. They've got Josh Allen, and they have a proven record of being good every year. So, whatever, I might not put ahead. But I think in the next bucket, it is Bengals, Bills, whether you put Jacksonville in that, I mean, obviously Ravens, whether you put Jacksonville in there, probably not. But I think Texans go in there, and then the Jets are sort of off to the side as some crazy wild card. I don't think they deserve to be in that group, but you can absolutely imagine it. Like when the unsportsmanlike, like the show before mine, was talking about teams that can win the Super Bowl.
Right.
I just think you have to include all those teams as teams that can win the Super Bowl. I mean, that of course that those are or can go to the Super Bowl. It's unlikely. Hell, they're all unlikely because the Chiefs are in the AFC. But I think all those teams. You wouldn't be shocked if at the end of the season I told you any of those teams were in the Super Bowl. And I absolutely wouldn't. I don't think you'd be shocked if one of those teams was the Texans.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing we haven't talked about, quarterback contracts. Tua Tagovailoa got the big deal. Jordan Love got the record-setting deal, even though it's tied with, I think, Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence for a per-year valuation, $55 million per year. Either one of those stand out as one that's just like, I cannot believe they paid him that amount of money.
Obviously people are more enamored with the Love one than with the Tua one, right, for obvious reasons, because it felt like Tua was propped up or at least was enabled by a mastermind coach and extraordinary weapons. And Jordan Love, you look at the receivers, they actually turned out to be a pretty damn good receiving core, and it may be even better this year. But at the time, you know, it was not that. There isn't who is the number one receiver in that group. And so you see this. And plus Tua has flopped in cold weather consistently, in big spots consistently. But I have a contrary take, and it is this: I think people are crossing off Dallas and the Dolphins. You hear it all the time, mocking Dallas and the Dolphins. And I do mock Dallas for not having locked up their guys. I think it's inexplicable that they have three leading players not under contract. But they win, you know, double big figure games every year. Like, they're going to again. They're in a crappy division. They're going to again. And I think the Dolphins are going to be good again. And I don't really know what alternative you have. I mean, it's funny, like, you take those two teams, and one is not paying their quarterback and is getting crushed for it, and one did pay their quarterback and is getting crushed for it. And I just think you have to pay your quarterback. Tua was basically, he was holding in. Like, he wasn't going to just play out the year and be happy. So you can stink and have a lousy quarterback, or you can pay your quarterback $50 million, which is the going rate. And it is a little frustrating that you're basically paying the same going rate that the Chiefs are paying Patrick Mahomes. Puts you at a huge disadvantage, but you're not going to get him for less.
Yes.
You know, you're just not going to get, so you either pay it or you don't. And so now you're Dallas and you're going to get ripped for not paying it, and you're the Dolphins and you're going to get ripped for paying it. And neither one of those dudes is Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen for that matter. But I don't see what choice you have unless you decide you just want to go stink and start over again. And so neither of those teams want to do that. And so you got to pay your quarterback. And the going rate is $50 million. You're not going to get them for $42 million.
Nope.
So, you know, that's what you do.
It's necessary. But what's funny to me is, like, when you get the questions about is it worth it, when you look at the top eight paid quarterbacks, there's 16, a combined 16 and 17 in the playoffs with no Super Bowl wins. Like, I mean, obviously, I think some are more worth it than others. Some are also more risky than others. But, like, in the end of the day, these contracts don't prove to be worth it if you're trying to win a championship. They just don't. Besides number 15 for the Kansas City Chiefs, all of them have just sort of flailed around.
Well, that's because of
Gus of 15 from the Chiefs.
They get you to the. Here's the truth. They get you to the playoffs. If you don't have one of them, you don't. You only have those playoff stats because they put you in the playoffs. Otherwise, you're not in the playoffs. And so, it's a little bit like though. It's interesting. It's a little bit like. You know, back when I remember when Mike Conley got a max deal or when Marc Gasol got a max deal. Well, LeBron is also getting a max deal, right? It's a max deal. It's the same amount to everybody. And as great as Mike Conley was and as great as Marc Gasol was, they're not LeBron James. And so everyone's getting a max deal. And you sort of wish that, just from a fairness perspective, you wish that, okay, Tua was $50 million and Jordan Love is $50 million, but Patrick Mahomes is going to make sure he gets $70 million. That would be fair. But Patrick Mahomes, and it frustrates the hell out of me that this is true, he seems to be fine making the $50 million because he likes winning Super Bowls. You know, I'd like it if Patrick Mahomes would want to make the $70 million. So at least then, okay, they got the best quarterback, but they're going to have, you know, they're going to have to compromise at left tackle or at wide receiver or tie somewhere.
Yeah.
Instead, you're getting basic. It's basically the way it used to work in the NBA is that when you've got LeBron on a max deal, the old LeBron, this is when, you know, back when he was the best player in the league, you had an incredible bargain because every good player was getting a max deal. And if you had the best good player, you were at a huge, you had a huge advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking with Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X. Speaking of contracts, Luke Kennard, 1 year, $11 million. What'd you think of the contract there? Do you really have that much of a take? I thought that he would be extended for a couple of years and be a little less money per year, but 1 year, $11 million, I'm not going to lose sleep over that.
I think it makes perfect sense. It makes all the sense in the world, honestly, for everybody. You know, we don't really know what Luke Kennard, how he's going to fit here, right? I mean, obviously they're not paying him $11 million not to play him. Yeah. So they're going to play him, right? So, but you look at it, You got Vince Williams, you got Gigi Jackson, you got Marcus Smart, and then you just drafted two other potential shooters in the second round who aren't going to be an impact this year but might be going forward. And they very clearly wanted to see what the experiment would look like that they never got to try out last year. What does it look like with the core and also Marcus Smart and also Luke Kennard? And let's see what this looks like. But they can move on at the end of the year. Luke can move on at the end of the year. I actually think it makes all the sense in the world. I'm really dazzled by the fact that, I mean, if I were Robert Pera, I'd be very happy that you brought Luke Kennard back and you solved the, at least you think you did, the center question. And you did all of that for, and you're still under the tax.
I think it's you're under the first apron, but you're over the tax.
Be under the tax, as Chris Harrington said today on my show, that it's pretty clear. He thinks the $11 million is a little agent speak. That they're in fact probably under the tax. They wouldn't.
Okay.
Well, either they are under the tax because that's a squishy number, right? We don't know what of that is a bonus. What's or else. They're going to be there's no way that the Memphis Grizzlies are going to be $1 million into the tax.
So they're going to find whether it's a Conchar move or some type of move out there to try to save a little bit of money. If it is the $11 million that we're talking about.
Right. Okay. So yes.
And it doesn't lock in, correct me if I'm wrong, until the trade deadline.
Right. It doesn't. Well, no. Yeah. I don't think the money. Oh, does the guy. I mean,
for the luxury tax.
They don't calculate the tax till the end of the season.
Okay.
You know, that's when they calculate the tax, is the end of the season. So, I think so much depends on Zach Edey, honestly. That's sort of, and I'm a believer.
Yeah.
But that's the part of the offseason that was sort of, did they do enough? But I just think it's really, I think they filled their holes, they filled their need. Back when we used to talk about how they were going to solve this with Luke Kennard, people would hypothetically say, well, they could bring him back at a lesser number. I don't think anyone really thought that's what was going to happen.
Right.
But the market for shooting specialists turned out to be such that, if anything, if you compare him to some of the other deals, some of the other shooters got, you can argue that for 1 year he's overpaid, you know. Anyway, I think it's a good bit of business, and I think all the people who said, don't worry, this is going to happen, the delay is about nothing, I think they proved to be exactly right.
Yeah, but these contracts are so all over the place. I was confused. The longer it drug on, because it took 31 days from the Woj tweet to ultimately get Luke Kennard signed, I was thinking that maybe the Grizzlies thought they had a little more leverage and were going to drive the price down, considering how long it took. Just because you saw Gary Trent Jr. sign for a minimum and Tyus Jones sign for a minimum and this guy, minimum. You know, they're just handing out minimums all over the place to really good NBA players.
Yeah, I think the Gary Trent Jr. one is certainly, it makes you wonder, could they have, you know, put the screws to Luke Kennard and got him for less? I like Chris Harrington's theory. It was just a theory that he propounded on my show, was this. So why was everyone so confident that this was a done deal, which they were from the outset, right, when he first heard this? And his theory, just a theory, is this, that the Grizzlies said to him, listen, you want to be here, we want to be here. We want you to be here. We need to move Zaire to create a little space. And then whatever money we got, we're going to give to you. We're going to work this out, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then they didn't. Like, that was the understanding all along, which is why he didn't go out and shop for other deals, right? Like, and it's also why they didn't come back and put the screws to him saying, you look what Gary Trent Jr. got, you know? They have had this understanding in place all along about what the contract might look like. And so that's all they were waiting for. Now, why the hell they had to wait after they moved to the end? That's a little weird. But beyond that, I think that makes sense. They had they not reached that understanding up front at the outset with Kennard, he might have been out shopping. But because they reached that understanding at the outset, he was never out shopping the deal, and they were never trying to put the screws to him as the market, you know, forces came to bear on shooting specialists. They had basically reached the contours of this deal, you know, at least the broad structure of it, long ago, and they were just waiting for the Grizzlies to move Zaire so they could make it happen. And that feels like to me what happened.
I do kind of wonder about the money, though, in that particular set of circumstances. I don't think the money was handled up front. I don't think they said they were going to give him $11 million from the outset. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. It's done. It's completely done. But, Jeff, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for hopping on.
See you again. Yep.
We'll do it again. That is Jeff Calkins, at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist. Also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, Oxbow's a family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Make sure you get over to their convenient location off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station, 964 June Road to be exact. And you're going to see a two-story storefront. Top floor is going to be all the hunting and outdoor essentials, so go up there. If that is what floats your boat, bottom floor, gift-giving destination of Memphis, and you can get a gift for yourself or you can get a gift for others. Let's start with the sports memorabilia they have. If you have a man cave, go there. Go there. They have autographs, pictures. They had an autographed boxing glove last time I was in there. They have all, you know, the hometown potential autographs that you can need, and they have a great trading card selection for you, those of you that are into sort of MLB cards. You can check out the vintage vinyl for the music lovers out there. They have it there in the back part of back right of the bottom floor, and they have a great selection for whoever needs that. Now, they also have great clothing. And the best brands, Gentile, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. And they have your favorite teams as well. They have Grizzlies, Tigers, your SEC favorites, Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, you name it. They have it over at 964 June Road, but you can get a polo, a button-down. They have shorts, slacks. They have everything you need from as casual to as uppity a look as you could possibly need. Now, I also need to point you in the direction because we're getting close to football season. If you need some tailgating gear, go there. Go there. They have cups, coolers, koozies, tumblers, everything you could possibly need to get to Tiger Lane or the Grove is there. And you can get all this stuff online as well. Go to shopoxbow.com. Again, that's shopoxbow.com. And when you go there, tell them I sent you by using my promo code, The Gabe Show. When you go to check out, use my promo code THEGABESHOW, all caps, no spaces, and you'll get 20% off your online order at shopoxpo.com. Whether you're going online or in store, to 964 June Road, remember to shop local. Shop Oxbo. Now, we have a record-breaking contract that has been signed in the National Football League. It feels like I tell you this every day, but we do have another, and I'll tell you who signed it when we come back right here, 92.9 FM ESPN. Kuncho, 92.9 FM ESPN, into some NFL news. I want to start with some injuries because we have some notable injuries today, including right here in the state, across the state, in Nashville. The Titans just got some really bad news for their second-year quarterback, Will Levis. But their wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, he has suffered a knee injury during practice, and ESPN has been told that he will miss 4 to 6 weeks. So, obviously, it looks like he can potentially return, but what's that knee going to be like? We know his rehab process is probably slowing down, getting into the upper ages, getting into his 30s. How's it all going to play out? I think if we're talking about this Titans offense and what it needs to be successful with Will Levis, what Will Levis needs to be successful, it's all hands on deck. I still know he's going to have Calvin Ridley. Maybe Treylon Burks can come along. Maybe they're going to have some different guys that he can throw to, even with DeAndre Hopkins out of the lineup. But you need a guy like that. He's a safety blanket. He catches everything that's thrown to him. He's not a crazy separator. But when times are tough, guess who you can throw the ball at? DeAndre Hopkins. That's actually a really, really tough injury to have to deal with at the start of the season. But again, it looks like he'll be back at some point. You just hope that rehab process speeds up.
Yeah, it seems like they avoided true disaster. It's never good news to have somebody out 4 to 6 weeks during training camp and in the preseason, but it sounds like at least he'll be able to go for the majority of the season.
Yeah, and this is, you know, DeAndre Hopkins and what he did last year catching for 1,000 yards, he was one of the reasons that I'm a lot higher on this Titans team than a lot of, you know, people are. I think most people list them, you know, you look at all these publications, list them as like a bottom five roster. You know, just looking at what they have with DeAndre Hopkins in there, Tyler Boyd, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, you could potentially get to Nick Westbrook, Akina, Treylon Burks at wide receiver. I know that offensive line has to get better, but you drafted J.C. Latham. You still have Peter Skoronski. You signed Lloyd Cushenberry. You have some guys up there that are very, you know, very solid. I think that O-line could be a whole lot better. And then you have a running back in Tony Pollard. I know you're coming off the Derrick Henry era, but that's not bad to land in. You know, we're talking about a 1,000-yard rusher and a guy who can go split out wide and catch some passes. Defensively, I have my concerns, but I still think some of the main guys are still there. Like Jeffrey Simmons, still around. Harold Landry, still around. You signed L'Jarius Sneed. I just look at this team, and I'm a lot higher than most people, but on the offensive side of the ball, missing out on DeAndre Hopkins, it's just going to be a little bit of a punch in the gut to start the season. That's a guy who usually comes out blazing, and he's not this year. He will not be doing that. Also, we have the Chargers. They've announced that Justin Herbert was diagnosed with an injury to the plantar fascia in his right foot. Per the team, doctors have recommended approximately 2 weeks in a boot, followed by a graduated return-to-play protocol with the expectation that he will be ready for the start of the regular season. Okay, plantar fascia, that's tough. For anybody that's a skill position player, really anybody who plays the sport of football, if there's like a tear with the plantar fascia or there's swelling, it's really hard to run around or stomp around or do whatever you need to do. That's concerning. You know, going into the season, if he is sort of limited in what he can do and moving his feet in the pocket or getting outside of the pocket, escaping, that could definitely be a problem. But this is not what you want to hear for one of the brightest young quarterbacks in the NFL to start camp like this. And here's the other part of it that people need to pay attention to. Justin Herbert is moving on from a situation where he got to air the ball out to a lot of good wide receivers. Now he's moving into a new system where he's going to be under center probably a whole lot more. He's going to hand the ball a lot off a whole lot more. He's going to have two tight end sets a whole lot more. This was his first fall camp transitioning into this offense. For him to be off the field – I don't know if there is enough mental reps you can go through to make up the ground that he would have had to make up in fall camp. So even when he gets back, I do fear that he will not have transitioned fully or had enough time to practice within the new set of circumstances that Jim Harbaugh is putting out there offensively. It's a completely different system than what he's dealt with in his career.
I read in one of the stories, too, that Antonio Gates dealt with this during his career. And in the season that he had it, it limited him to 10 games.
Yeah. It's a recurring thing.
Not good.
It's going to be pain management, too. I told you, Drew Kaiser texted me earlier, old center at the University of Memphis that I played next to. And he was basically giving me props for calling out the defense that we played with at the end of the first hour. But back in college, he had a torn plantar fascia that he had to play on. And you have to put a metal plate in the bottom of your shoe. And it is really tough. You have to run flat-footed. It really limits you.
I remember.
Even if you're playing, you are limited in the mobility that you have.
I remember Mike Conley, when he was here, I believe had an injury similar to it. And he described it as when you were walking, it felt like there was just a ball at the bottom of your foot, and it was painful.
Yes, and it feels like apparently it's like something stabbing the bottom of your foot every time you walk.
I've had a flare-up. I haven't had it like officially diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure I've had it in moments, and it is extremely painful. You really can't move around much.
Yeah, now outside of this injury, I don't know what I feel about the Jim Harbaugh Chargers. I mean, I know how I feel, I guess, is the best way to put it. But I don't know if I'm wrong or if other people are wrong about the situation.
They're
going
to be bad.
Jim Harbaugh has gotten pass after pass after pass this offseason because what people will say, he's been successful everywhere he's gone. And I don't know if this is what we should be latching on to. He's been at Michigan. The 49ers are a really good franchise and have been ran like a really good franchise for a long time. So even when he was there, that was solid. And I do think the reason that he was good with the 49ers was less about Jim Harbaugh and more about the personnel. You had Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis at linebacker. You had Justin Smith and Alden Smith up front playing games with people. You had Dante Whitner in the defensive backfield. You had prime Vernon Davis. You had prime Frank Gore. You had prime Joe Staley. You had prime Michael Crabtree. You had Anquan Boldin in the middle of his career. Like, you just had so much on that team. And I don't know if that was Jim Harbaugh or it was, you know, front office GM putting together a good product for him. But everybody says he's been successful wherever he's gone. And for me, I think he has been in good situations. And I don't know if the Chargers, sorry to Chargers fans out there that may be listening, I think I'm talking to Isaiah Downey, local hero. I don't know if the Chargers have ever been a successful situation for any particular coach. North Turner had some success, but even that was limited. The situation he's going into is not ideal. You're a second-rate team in L.A. You're coming from a situation where you got to recruit all the best talent. And you're going into one of the worst-run franchises ever in the National Football League. I get the sense that he's going to implement his culture, and it may go well by year two, year three, year four. But I don't have high hopes early in this whole tenure. I do not have high hopes. I think this Chargers team is going to be pretty bad this year.
The Chargers have been so bad that we had to question the validity of a fan and their stands because we just couldn't bring ourselves to believe that somebody was that fired up about the Chargers. No, Isaiah, he's in a dark place with the Chargers. It's not good. It's not good.
They don't really have a bunch of wide receiver help.
They have no receiver.
They have Ladd McConkey, who's been doing well in camp, I guess. But that's it. And then their plan is to run the ball, but I don't know if their O-line's good enough right now. I got to be honest. Joe Alt is a massive human being, but he's still a rookie. I don't know. He's changing around a system that focused on a quarterback to a point, and you've paid the guy already, by the way, paid him $262.5 million. You've changed around that system to the point where you're not going to focus on giving the quarterback anything to work with. You're just going to run the ball, get into 12 personnel with two tight ends all the time, try to run it down people's throat. It's too big of a change too fast. And they're still in cap hell. They're still in salary cap hell. And I don't know how they're going to fix that anytime soon. Now, we have a massive contract, record-breaking contract. And you know what? Can we get a round of applause? Because this is great. This is great. An offensive lineman breaking records, right? We like the offensive lineman contracts. But Tristan Wirfs, out of Iowa 4 years ago from the Bucks, 5-year, $140.63 million contract extension, makes him the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. I think most people understand how good this guy is. But if you don't know how good he is, let me lay this out for you. 25 years old, so he's a 4-year pro. 3-time Pro Bowler, 1-time All-Pro, won a Super Bowl, has played both left tackle and right tackle. He's done it all. And he's 25 years old. And this is a really good deal at a good time. I think it'll age relatively well. And, you know, the Bucks have to lock up guys like this. They need to have their franchise cornerstones. They need to keep Baker Mayfield upright. They paid him 3 years, $100 million this offseason. This is a very, very good investment. And I'm not just saying that because I am an offensive lineman by trade. I'm saying it because it is a truly good investment. Now, this is how petty contracts get at this point. Tristan Wirfs clearly walked up to the Bucks and said, I want.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It'll be the highest paid lineman in NFL history. So if you remember earlier this offseason, Penei Sewell signed a contract that made him $28 million per year. You want to know how much Tristan Wirfs is making per year?
Is it 28.1?
$28.1 million per year.
Incredible.
I love how petty these guys are.
That deserves another round of applause.
That's
well
phenomenal.
Done.
Phenomenal.
Well done.
Just be as petty as possible. Let me get over top. Let me set a record. Let me leave him behind. That's beautiful stuff. That's beautiful stuff. I mean, could we at least round it up, beat him by a million? per year. You know, let's get there. Maybe a half a million per year. 0.1. That is just as petty as it gets. But good stuff. I'm not gonna go after him.
Sports money is so silly because we're calling $100,000 petty money. It's so stupid. That's a crazy amount of money.
That is a good point. Now that I've had time to chew on that for a second, yes, that is a really good point.
I would
point.
Let you punch me in the face for $100,000.
You'd do it. You'd let me punch you in the face for less than that.
Far less than
Come
that.
Come on now.
Far less than
if
that.
If somebody offered you $1,000 for me to punch you right in the face.
Ooh, 1,000's tough because 2,000. Medical bills. When do we get out of you break my face territory? I'm going to have to say, I would probably say the minimum would be like $3,000.
$3,500.
There we go. I know my worth.
But it is funny. The petty money in the NFL is the extra $100,000 that he got over top.
It's just life-changing money for most
yeah,
people. But how petty?
That's just him being petty. Let's go ahead and grab a break, though, on that note. We'll come back and wrap up hour number two with Small Talk right here on the Gabe Coon Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Coon Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, we got an announcement today on Bill Belichick and what his future is going to hold. I know there's a couple of things, I'll get to him in a second, that he's already involved in. But the former Patriots head coach now has signed on with, and this surprised me, like it just seems like a strange fit, but he signed with Underdog Fantasy to create and co-produce a new football show debuting this season. The show will feature Belichick breaking down film, taking fans through the process as if he were coaching the team. It'll be called Coach with Bill Belichick by Underdog Fantasy. I think that's going to be interesting content, but my big issue lies here. Underdog Fantasy, if we just sort of look at some of their content already, the Gilbert Arena show, I think Rasheed Wallace has a deal there, but there's a lot of guys that make headlines, right? There's a lot of guys that put out a lot of clickbaity type conversations and say wild things. Bill Belichick taking you through a week of prep, very niche, very in the weeds, not going to be for everybody. And I understand that when you have a chance to pick up a guy like Bill Belichick and do a show, sure, you probably take that opportunity. I just wonder how this is going to do for Underdog Fantasy in particular in their platform. This feels like it should be on a streaming service out like Netflix or something else. This feels like it should be a week-by-week show instead of on Underdog Fantasy, having to find it digitally, going about it that way, on YouTube probably. I don't know. It just seems like a strange fit to me.
Does it
kind of feel weird
odd
to you?
Yeah, a bit odd. Of all the possibilities that were discussed with where he could go, I don't think that they were the favorites to land him.
No. They're doing well. I'm not shaming Underdog Fantasy.
No.
But this does not really fit their normal content structure. Like, what is being proposed from the sounds of it sounds more like a Max type deal, where every week he's featuring film breakdowns and he is acting like he's coaching a team every single week. Like, it seems like it would
I like be, the idea.
I like the idea, but I don't know if it fits Underdog Fantasy and what they do.
Well, maybe they're aggressive expansion.
They've been expanding.
Name the movie.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Well, you tell me.
Dark Knight, get out of here.
Oh.
I'm going to send it to break.
I mean, there's a lot. Well,
turn off your mic.
No, hold up. The assumption there would be that I haven't seen Dark Knight or something, and I don't remember that.
You should know that off the top of your head.
Really?
It's the pool scene. Come on, now he breaks the sticks. Time for aggressive expansion.
Oh, that's a good, yeah. Is that when he puts the pencil through the guy's eyeball, too?
No, Gabe. Oh, I'm going to turn off your mic. No.
Am I really? Is this embarrassing?
He kills the guy that tries to kill him after he put the pencil through somebody's head.
I've never been a big quote guy. I don't just pull quotes from movies and recite them. You know? It's just never been my thing. Sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Connor. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Now, on top of the Underdog Fantasy thing, we do know that he'll be on Pat McAfee's show once a week. He'll be on the Manning cast of Peyton and Eli.
That'll be great.
In each game. And he'll be the analyst on Inside the NFL alongside Ryan Clark, Chad Johnson, and Chris Long, and I believe that's CW or something like that. I think that's something. It's local.
Him with the Mannings will be very good.
It's completely national. The inside the NFL thing, but he has made himself like he is. He is getting money from a lot of different places.
Well, I think he crushed it in the few appearances that he did, and it was a bit shocking. I don't think any of us expected him to show the personality that he did, so I wonder if it just gave him more opportunity than we thought he was going to have. I am looking forward to him being with the Mannings, because you know Eli's going to take some shots, right? He's got to take some shots at him.
Yeah, Eli's got to. He's got the opportunity.
Got to. Earned it.
Yeah, we have two Super Bowls over you. Go on now. We spoiled your
best perfect season.
The best team you ever had, in my opinion. Like, that was the best team I've seen in NFL history. Just didn't win a Super Bowl.
I will say that even in the moment, it was really exciting, and I loved that the Giants won. And it was an amazing game. It does kind of make me sad, though, hindsight 2020, that, like, it took Randy Moss's ring from him. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have a ring because of the Giants got over the top one time. Like, I wish that we could talk about Randy Moss as an NFL champion. It feels like he deserves one. Do we do honorary rings?
Yeah, and he's like one of those guys, though, that you almost think has one.
You think he has one, and then you look it up, and you're like, oh, my God.
You're like, damn, they did lose.
They did lose that one. Yeah.
That's tough. That's tough. Now, did you see, this was from Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. I think I heard Jeffrey.
Oh, King State King. We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah. He basically wrote a story. New rule book subtly makes it easier for quarterbacks to throw the ball away. He said, from Rule 3, Section 25, a player who is in possession of the ball is out of the pocket area, and the pocket area no longer exists if any part of his body or ball is outside of the pocket area. And then he said, from Rule 8, Section 2, Item 1, a passer is out of the pocket area if any part of his body or the ball is outside of the pocket area. What is he talking about? This is literally what we've known from football forever, right? Am I missing something with this?
I think there's like a subtle change in it. I'm not 100% sure.
So I guess like the ball, if the ball's outside the pocket area.
I think the change is like, does it count if you reach the ball over and throw it away? Like if you're running out, but your body doesn't get out, if the ball's outside of it, does it count? It's a little subtle change. And he took a shot at the NFL at the very end of the article.
He
basically says, like, you'd have no idea this happened unless you took the time to read through their confusing rules. To paraphrase.
It's not that big of a change, man.
I don't know. It's going to affect stuff. Think about it.
I don't know.
It's going to affect things. Because they didn't announce the change.
Let's be honest. Can they even review? Can they review an intentional grounding, I guess. But, like, most of these calls for intentional grounding are truly in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know how much this really changes. I don't know. It seems like...
My prediction is there's going to be a moment...
Mike Florio has this tendency to freak out about things that don't need to be freaked out.
Of course he does.
About.
My prediction is there is going to be a moment this year where it comes into play. And people are going to lose their minds, and then people are going to be like, nope. Subtle change, subtle rule change. They didn't announce it. I think his point is they didn't announce the rule change, so it feels weird.
I'm going to be honest. I don't even we can throw a nice lunch bet on this. I don't think we have any issue with this.
I think we do. It's going to happen.
Where's the lunch going to be at? Come on, call it right now. I don't think through the entire season, I don't even think we notice it.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you. But where lunch? Huey's, just something easy.
We'll pick the spot.
Or we could be really cool for, like, you know, we could do Houston's. So we really crack.
Are you insane? Yeah. No. No. I'm not paying you for a Houston's meal from you. No.
Well, you could win the bet. You feel pretty confident, it sounds like.
I'm not paying for your. It's going to be $1,000. No.
No, I'm not. Damn. What do you think I order when I go to Houston's?
Houston's, it's expensive, man.
You think I do like my...
I'm on a producer budget, all right?
I got 3 slices of fries. Like,
yes, exactly.
What do you think I'm doing?
Yes.
4 baked potatoes.
Have you seen the prices at Houston's? No. McDonald's.
Damn. My gosh.
Connor. I'm on a producer buzzer, brother.
Yeah, Connor coming after me. We're going to get into hour number three, though, on that note. And we're going to start it talking some college football. Let's go from some NFL to college football. Colton Denning from Two Stripes CPD. He also has a YouTube channel where he gives you all the throwback highlights for college football. But we're going to talk to him about college football coming up next. 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.